beginning in verse 1 of Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and forever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And then in chapter 16, he begins to pour out the vials. Now, Scripture reveals to us God's plan for the ages. He has not left us to wonder and to guess and to speculate what's going to happen in the end times. God has given us the book of Revelation, and the Old Testament prophets quite often pointed to many of these things, and we have understanding of how the scheme of events are going to come into play. In Genesis 18, God appeared to Abraham, and Abraham walked with God. And God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham that I am about to do, seeing that he will cause his children to honor me and worship me and serve me? And so he revealed to Abraham about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God has not left his church in ignorance either about what he's going to do in his great day of wrath coming down upon the earth, the day of future judgment. First, there's going to be the rapture, and we're going to heaven to be with the Lord forevermore. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58, says, we shall not all sleep, referring to death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And all the unsaved of the earth will be left behind when we rise to meet the Lord in the air. Now, because this happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I believe that the earth will not see the transfiguration take place in the rapture when we go to meet the Lord in the air. When the Lord comes back to the earth at the end of the tribulation, the Bible says, every eye shall see him and know what is taking place. Now, the time on earth will begin called the tribulation. It is called the day of the Lord. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is called the hour of temptation that will come upon all the earth to try them which dwell upon the earth. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, he reveals an end-time event divided into two three-and-a-half-year periods of time. Back in chapter 7 and chapter 9, he reveals that there would be 70 weeks of years, divided into the first section being 69 weeks of years, would be fulfilled from the time that the declaration went forth from the king to go and rebuild the temple and the city of Jerusalem, that from the time that decree would go back to rebuild, until the cutting off of the Messiah would be 69 weeks of years. And if you can add real quick in your head, I think that's 483 years that would transpire before the cutting off of Messiah with the crucifixion of Christ. And then there would be one more week of years. And so the tribulation is referred to as Daniel's 70th week. It'll be that period of 7 years in the tribulation. Now in Daniel 10, he gave six reasons for the tribulation. He said, first of all, it'll be to finish the transgression. Secondly, it will be to make an end of sins. Thirdly, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Fourthly, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Fifth, to seal up the vision and the prophecy of it. And sixth, to anoint the Most Holy. In Matthew 24, the tribulation is spoken of. And Christ revealed the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel will transpire in the end time. In chapter 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The great tribulation is the wrath of God poured out upon the earth dwellers and upon the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan, who is called the dragon. So we're going to have the rapture and then the tribulation. And at the end of the tribulation, Christ will return to the earth and fight the battle of Armageddon against all the armies that will come against Israel. When Christ returns to the earth, he will come to set up his kingdom after that great battle upon this earth for 1,000 years. And he'll rule and reign from Jerusalem, from David's throne, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Afterwards, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where God will create for our eternity. Now, in Revelation 15, we see a sign from heaven. Seven angels. This is a heavenly sign. We'd seen back in chapter 12 the sign of the woman representing the nation of Israel, the sign of the great red dragon representing the devil, and now we see the sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. The importance is seen in the terms great and marvelous. This is not just a wonder, it is a mega wonder that will transpire. Seven angels with seven vials filled with the wrath of God poured out upon the earth. All the wicked, idol-worshiping, sinful society of the Antichrist will be judged by God, and they certainly deserve the judgment that they will receive. But a strange paradox is seen in that since the time of Adam and Eve committing disobedience to God, which is sin, and causing all their descendants to be born with a sinful nature, and all the sins that men have committed since that day, God has been constantly working to provide redemption for sinful man, giving us opportunity, giving us a call, giving us a wooing by His Spirit to draw us to where we can believe and be saved by faith in His Word. God's been making a way for sinful man to be redeemed, and God has given His Son and work the circumstance on earth to save sinners from their own sins and from God's own wrath, which He will bring upon the earth. Now, why hasn't He brought wrath up to now? There's as much wickedness today as there was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's great wickedness upon the earth like there was in the book of Genesis when men's minds were on evil continually. All I can say is there is a remnant still that serves the Lord in the world today. And God's timing is His timing. And God is long-suffering that we have had the opportunity to be saved. Praise God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Glory to God for deliverance from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says the Thessalonians got saved and they turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God and to wait for His Son from heaven who delivered us from the wrath to come. Praise God. How awful, how devastating the wrath of God is going to be. If you've ever seen live footage or possibly been somewhere after a great tsunami has passed or a tornado that has ripped up a community or something of that nature, I remember the TV pictures of Bangladesh that had a devastating flood and there were just hundreds and hundreds of bodies laying all over the place as the waters began to recede and thousands had been washed out to sea who lost their lives. And many in the United States were moved by that. Even the Hollywood crowd, the Beatles did a banquet, a special performance to raise money for Bangladesh after that great devastation had taken place. Many people's hearts and minds were touched and moved by the devastation of what took place. Islands have been totally destroyed. The Philippines has been hit by great devastation many, many times and left great devastation. But none of those things can compare to what's going to happen in the tribulation when God's wrath is poured out in those last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now we're seeing 7 angels with 7 last plagues. We've had a little bit of a plague ourselves with this COVID virus. And the way that thing has worked, it's worked like a plague. And it has been so easy to transfer from one person to another. People worry today over politics and over the environment. And they worry about global warming. They've changed the name of that about 4 times, you know. And climate control and all that sort of thing. You can't control the climate. Only God can control the climate. And they worry about war, they worry about the stock market, they worry about terrorism, they worry about crime, they worry about the moral decline in America. I think it's just the Christians that worry about moral decline in America. But what they ought to fear is the wrath of God that is coming. In number 7, there's 7 angels. Number 7 is a number of completion in the Bible. There's 7 days in a week and 7 Sabbaths until the sabbatical year that brings in the year of Jubilee. There's 7 stars in Revelation and 7 candlesticks and 7 churches of Revelation. There's the 7 seal judgments and the 7 trumpet judgments. There's 7 persons that have been revealed. There's 7 hills on which the kingdom of Antichrist will sit. There's 7 angels and 7 vials of the wrath of God. 7 is a number of completion. And we're seeing the end being spoken of here in chapter 15 of Revelation and chapter 16. 7 last plagues. We get the English word eschatology, the study of last things. Speaking of biblical prophecy, the doctrine of prophecy is called eschatology. And this is the doctrine of the last plagues, the last things. These vials are filled up to overflowing with the wrath of God. In verse 2 and 3, we see part of the reason God's wrath is overflowing and ready to be poured out upon the earth dwellers is because, secondly, the sights and sounds that we've seen in the tribulation. Look at chapter 6 of Revelation and verse 9. The sights and sounds of the tribulation and the deaths of tribulation saints. Chapter 6, verse 9, "And when he'd opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and all and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In chapter 7, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. He said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Look at chapter 13 with me, if you would, and verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. In verse 17, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Chapter 14 and verse 1 through 5. I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth there was found no guile, and they are without fault before the throne of God. And these are they that sing and praise God for redemption. The Bible says in chapter 15, of the crowd that gathers there, they sing the song of Moses. I want you to look at two passages. Look back at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 and verse 1. With Pharaoh and his riders drowned in the Red Sea, Moses sings a song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. And that song continues. Then in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1, Give ear, ye heavens, and I will speak and hear of earth the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Verse 3 of Deuteronomy 32. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. And that song continues. Then turn back to Revelation, if you will, in chapter 5. These two passages deal with the song of Moses. And in Revelation 5, we have the song of the Lamb in Revelation 5 and verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and in tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And it continues with every creature upon the earth in agreement of the song. Now these songs are great and marvelous are the works of God, the Lord God Almighty, the King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name. For thou alone art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgment are made manifest. Thirdly, tonight, back in chapter 15 of Revelation, the result of what transpires, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony is opened. There are seven angels dressed in royal attire, with golden girdles and with pure white linen. And they have seven vials given unto them of the wrath of God. One of the four beasts gives the angels the golden vials. And the temple is filled with smoke. In the Old Testament days of the tabernacle in the holy place and then the temple in the holy place, the high priest would take the pot with the burning incense in with him and fill the room with smoke. And this was like a shadow from the presence of God for the benefit of the priest to keep him from the seeing the presence of the Lord as he came and received the blood sacrifice for men's sins. But we're looking at the wrath of God being poured out in this testimony. Even in God's glory, it is magnified. His power is exalted. In 2 Peter 3, we've looked at many times in connection with the judgment and the end time. Chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Our loving and merciful and gracious Father will righteously judge the world, all the evil, all the wickedness, all of the Antichrist kingdom. Evil and judgment will come upon all these worshipers of the beast and of his image. If you look at chapter 16, I'll give you a quick foreshadowing. Chapter 16 says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. This will be a malignant, festering, painful, ulcer-type sore, much like a leprous sore that struck fear through the hearts of men and caused men who had leprosy to put their hand over their mouth and say unclean when they came into the presence of another person, lest that person feared being being inflicted with leprosy. Sort of like today with the wearing of masks, you know. We walk around with the masks on, basically saying, unclean, stay 6 feet away, don't get near me, I could be infected. Well, they're going to find that in the day, all the unsaved and idol worshipers of that day are going to be struck with a very painful, ulcerated sore. Secondly, and the first went and poured out his vial. Third verse, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The oceans will become thick and congealed like the blood of a dead man. It will be way worse in the oceans than a red tide. Some of you remember reading of red tides where no seafood could be eaten during that time. And the red tides were these microbes that were in the water that caused the water to take a red tint. And they brought destruction, and the shorelines would be lined with dead fish. And the stench of that stuff would go on for months and would cause great trouble if someone ate any of those things. The third vial is poured out. Verse 4, the third angel poured out his vial upon the waters, or the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angels of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The rivers will be turned to blood, poisoning over a third of all the fresh water in that day of the tribulation. The fourth angel in verse 8 poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The intensity of the heat, no doubt the UV, there'll be no protection, and there will be a blistering heat from the sun. And instead of men falling on their faces to God and repenting of their sins and crying out for mercy, they will blaspheme God and blame him for their pain. The fifth vial in verse 10. Fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Still not willing to repent, they blaspheme that holy name. They gnaw their tongues for the pain. Darkness that was great. Some of these plagues, those of you that are Bible scholars know, they're mirrors to those that were in Egypt when Moses brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt and Pharaoh that God gave him power to do. And they were upon the idols and the false worship that the Egyptians did. The sixth vial in verse 12. The angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So God allows these evil ones to send demons forth into the kings of the east, and they will have a land route in toward Israel across the Euphrates to come for battle and for their destruction in that day. And then the seventh vial in verse 17. Seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. A talent was the weight that a man could possibly carry. Was probably from 90 to 120 pounds. And you're talking about great hail balls falling out of heaven in the neighborhood of 100 pounds. Imagine the destruction that they will do. When I was a young boy, there was a hailstorm that went through York County, and there was golf ball size hail. And we lived in an old house on a hill, and one of those hail balls busted through the pane glass with no storm windows on the old house we lived in, and it knocked the clock off the dresser. It came through the window with that kind of speed and power. It broke the glass out and knocked the clock off the dresser, and it covered the yard, and the temperature dropped about 15 degrees by the time that hail had stopped and covered the ground. Well, this is going to be hail like man's never seen, going to be an earthquake like men have never seen. It's going to be great destruction and great devastation. And yet, these men will blaspheme the holy name of God. They deserve the judgment they will receive, because today we are the witnesses warning them, calling them to come to repentance while there's an opportunity. There's coming a day when it will be too late. My friends, if you hear me tonight, and you have not been saved, when the rapture takes place, all of us who are saved are going to be gone. Nobody's going to witness to you anymore. I remember the story of the young man who was out living in the world, and his dear old mother would pray for him while he was out and gone, that he would come home and that he would get saved. And she would leave a gospel tract by his gloves every morning for him to take to work with him. And when he came home, there was that gospel tract laying by his gloves. And he grabbed that tract and crumbled it up and threw it on the ground and said, "Can I go anywhere that you won't be there to witness to me and talk to me about prayer?" And she said, "Yes, son, when you go to hell, there won't be anybody there to warn you or to tell you that it's too late." Friend, hear me. It's not too late now. But the day will come when it will be too late. And when we go to be with the Lord in the air, we won't be calling anybody on the phone with that one more time, or knocking on your door one more time, or leaving you a tract one more time, or praying for your soul one more time. Our job will be done, and we'll be gone to be with the Lord in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I would hate to be one left behind on this earth in that day. While you have the opportunity, come to the Lord and be saved. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Help us, Lord, to understand your scripture, to know what's going to happen in the end time, that we might share that message with those that will listen and those who want to hear about the end time things. And Lord, help it not just to be something pleasurable for to excite their senses, but help it to be something that strikes fear in them of a righteous and powerful God that will destroy the earth in that day. May they be saved before it's too late. May they take the warning now while they have the opportunity, as you have extended to us in your grace and your mercy. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.